Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now to talk about that from the Baltimore Banner on the Window Nation guest hotline, he is Childs Walker. Childs, first of all, good morning. How you feeling?
I'm okay. I'm almost recovered from being up all night on Monday, and here we got another big game right around the corner. So yeah. I'm doing okay.
Late practice today too. Have fun with that. But anyway, Baltimore or Kansas City or Baltimore, however you want to phrase it, one of them is going to be 1-3. Personally, my expectations for the Ravens were higher than the Chiefs, even though Kansas City championship goes through them, which it has for the last, 7 years, no doubt about that. But if we're sitting here on Monday and the Ravens are sitting at 1-3 with two other playoff teams from last year looming, Houston and the Rams, what DEFCON level is going to be happening there at the Castle?
Yeah, there's going to be deep concern at that point. I mean, obviously part of it would depend on how the game goes. I mean, if the defense gets lit up by a Kansas City offense that's just been stuck in the mud all season, you know, that would be, you know, deeply concerning. That would I can never remember if DEFCON 1 is the worst one or
one's the worst. One's like get into your bunker.
Right. We'd be right at the doomsday clock if Kansas City lights up their defense on Sunday. But I think they could dig out of 1-3. I don't think that's a death sentence for them, especially given the overall state of the AFC North. However, I think that actually fans online have settled on a pretty good way to think about this, which is now that the first three games haven't gone the way that you wanted them to, just get to the bye week 3-3 and you're okay. And, you know, things get a little easier schedule-wise after that. You know, that's at least an okay place to be. If you're 4-2, great. But 3-3 is at least okay. So, you know, you have to think of it that way. And in a lot of ways, I mean, Kansas City, I don't know that it's the easiest game of the three, but maybe it is. I mean, if you set aside their history with the Chiefs and actually look at how these teams have played so far this year, this is a game they kind of do need to win. I mean, you know, when you look at what's ahead.
Childs, the thing that bothers me most is 20 missed tackles. Where was the effort? Where was the focus? Where was the intensity? Where was the toughness? Where was play like a Raven? Because it was like play like a Lion Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, no, the Lions certainly seized the initiative. They were the more physical team. Their blockers won, you know, most of the interactions, you know, along the line of scrimmage. I mean, Kyle Hamilton, who had a very poor game by his standards, said mm-hmm. after the game, you know, we didn't meet our standards of just straight out running to the ball and tackling and hitting, like, you know, the most basic elements of the sport, which, you know, a team of their quality is supposed to be able to take for granted. It's a fair question. And they certainly knew what kind of game it was going to be. I mean, they talked about it all week. They knew that the Lions could hurt them in the middle of the field, you know, would run the ball with determination and, you know, with those two backs who are so good and bring, you know, different sets of skills. So they knew what was coming at them. And I don't know that you could exactly say they weren't ready to play. I mean, they actually started fairly well.
Not defensively.
Against the run though, they did. I mean, that ultimately ended up being the story of the game, right? They just get killed in the middle of the line. But I mean, they were awful on the first couple of possessions defending the run. But they wore down, and certainly, I mean, offensively, I think they're ready to play. So I wouldn't exactly say that, like, they just seem DOA, like, say, they did in the Kansas City playoff game 2 years ago. You know, the other thing with the defense is we're dealing with significant personnel shortages at this point, right? I mean, they, they were down in that game. I mean, you know, the Lions had the ball two-thirds of the first half, and you're missing, you know, you're missing your most productive edge guy. You're missing your best tackle. Travis Jones wasn't playing particularly well, and then he got hurt. We don't know how severely. So, I mean, they're severely undermanned and worn out by the second half. And I mean, that's what we saw how that played out. I mean, that's where you see those runs up the middle turn into, you know, big plays and touchdowns in the second half. So, I mean, it was concerning, you know, partly because I don't know that the problem was ultimately tactical. I mean, they felt undermanned in that game, and, you know, some of those troubles are not going to go away quickly.
Another question I would have for Harbs today is, what are we going to do differently to be able to run against an 8-man front?
Yeah. It's a good question, because we've seen it two games in a row now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, the offensive line sort of is what it is, and you do have some subpar run blockers on the offensive line, but I think it's more complicated than that. I do think they miss Ricard. You know, he still hasn't practiced, so it's hard to, you know, you can't expect him to probably be out there this week. We don't know when he's going to be back, but I mean, he's really a big part of that, you know, being able to be physical against a physical front. You know, good chance to get Likely back this week, but that doesn't really address that issue per se. You know, Henry's got to stop dropping the football. We know that. He knows that. I mean, he was devastated. Everybody saw that on Monday night. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, you know, do you do more schemed running with Lamar? They haven't done a ton of that over the last 2 weeks, but the Lions seem to have a pretty good plan for that. So mm-hmm. I don't know what the silver bullet is. I mean, do you have any theories?
No, I'm anxious to hear what Harbs has got to say. You know, that's what I want to see. I think they need to be more physical up front. That's number one. You know, the last two defenses, Cleveland and Detroit, they've taken it to them physically.
They have, yeah, which is, of course, I mean, that's a sort of a direct blow to their self-image and their pride, right? They're supposed to be the team that does that. They did that to the Lions 2 years ago. They beat them up. So, I mean, I think in that sense, this game will be a shock to the system and force them to sort of say, what are we, you know, what kind of team do we want to be? And you know, I wrote that in my thing that posted yesterday morning. I mean, this was not a loss where you come out of it saying, oh my God, they were the better team. How did they blow it? You know, they did this dumb stuff at the end that unraveled every good thing that they'd done. This was a game where they got beat by a team that was just better than them that day and was more physical than them that day. And yes, they were in the game because nobody shuts down their offense, but they just got beat by another really good team. And so, I mean, you would hope that they take their medicine from that in a slightly different way. And, you know, that there's some real self-examination.
Charles Walker, Baltimore Banner, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. By the way, I got a chuck buck for the first person that calls John Harbaugh Harbs today during his weekly press conference. All right, what are we talking about? When we're back on the air Monday and you're writing your story, Charles, what are we writing about, good or bad, after the Chiefs game?
I think they win this game just simply because, you know, setting their history against the Chiefs aside, setting whatever mental gymnastics they seem to get into when they play this team, their offense is just so much more dynamic than the Kansas City offense. I mean, if you've watched the Chiefs this year, I mean, even that game they ended up winning fairly decisively against the Giants, it is watching their offense is just painful a lot of the time. I mean, everything is difficult for them. And say what you will about the struggles that the Ravens have had, I mean, they've put up a lot of points, and they've shown that they're still very capable of, you know, ripping off big plays. Now, Spagnuolo has traditionally schemed against them well. I mean, you know, he finds ways to make life uncomfortable for Lamar. But, I mean, it's going to be hard to keep the Ravens out of at least the high 20 zone point-wise. And that's not an easy place for the Chiefs to get to at this point. So I still like the Ravens in the game. I think the 2.5-point line is fair. But would I be shocked if, you know, we're parsing another mess on Monday morning? No, you can't be at this point.
Charles Walker, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Charles Walker, everybody. We'll come back. Whip around. What's going on in the world of sports? Heisman Trophy candidacy just took a big hit yesterday. We'll get into all of that. And the Orioles, 28 years ago today, did something at that time that they hadn't done in 14 years. We'll revisit that glorious one up in Toronto. Then, notes from the North. We're going to Pittsburgh. We're going to Cleveland. Then we're going to Cincinnati. Talk about the AFC North, a division that right now is kind of in disarray.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport,
every game,
everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip Around on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Heisman Trophy leader, according to the odds makers. John Mateer, Washington State transfer for the Sooners. They just beat Auburn. Entertaining game.
Yes.
This past Saturday. But in the wind, broke a hand, broke his hand. He's out for a month, at least. So that changes the landscape, not just for him winning the Heisman, but for the Sooners, because they got Texas coming up in a couple of weeks, and they're off to a fine start at that. Now, according to the odds makers, the new Heisman leader, my man, Fernando. Fernando Mendoza. Reminds me of The Simpsons. Mendoza! 14 touchdowns, no picks for the Hoosiers.
And they go to Iowa, right, this week?
Yeah, so we'll get a litmus test there in regards to can they keep pumping out them points at the rate that they are. Remember, they just trounced Illinois this past Saturday. And Carson Beck getting some run in Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
But Arch Manning, the Neusmeyers, and all of those guys that were the preseason favorites. Forget about it. And we'll see if Jeremiah Smith can get some traction, the wide receiver at Ohio State here, too.
And then Sellers was, but
he's done, too. So there you go. John Mateer hurts his Heisman, and it hurts Oklahoma, perhaps. But misses a month. They navigate a couple of games without him. The Sooners could still very much be part of the College Football Fun Fest, which is known as the new playoffs. We talked about this yesterday because the news was kind of breaking as it was happening. Maryland basketball men, as Adama Tambadou, four-star forward out of Massachusetts by way of multiple destinations, committed to Maryland, four-star. As he gives Buzz Williams his second recruit for the class of 2026, Dave LaMonaco, breaking down the skill set. I don't know anything about the guy, not going to lie. And you can watch YouTube videos to get an impression, and that all, they're not going to show him sucking at any particular thing. He'll be looking like Karl Malone, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But high basketball IQ, which is something you like to see. And then Joe Lunardi, and we talked about this as we were getting off the air yesterday, his latest bracketology came out yesterday. Still has Maryland as a 9 seed for the NCAA tournament of 2025-26. Maryland Hoops will be here before you know it, and we'll definitely have the full court press, if you will, on that coverage. Maryland football, they're off this week, 4-0, getting votes in the top 25. They'll host Washington next Saturday. Huskies, they host Ohio State this weekend.
And hopefully they get beat up a little bit. That would be big. That would be big. Bob, I was just reading, Mendoza's from Miami.
Mendoza.
Yes. And his brother is the backup quarterback.
Okay. Enrique? I'm just guessing.
I'd have to look it up.
Maybe it's Nolan.
Oh, it's Alberto.
Alberto.
Mendoza.
So there you go. It's the Whip Around Idiot 81057 The Fan. This day in Orioles history, pretty significant one. It is September the 24th. Let's go back to 1997 when a young Nolan McGraw was probably sitting on his dad's lap watching home team sports and Michael Ragai on the call.
Lines wide. The frustrations of 14 years have ended. Let's book an American League Eastern Division championship to David Johnson and the Baltimore Orioles.
9-3 final score. Michael Ragai, let's book this to the Orioles. The famous phrase. Rafael Palmeiro, two-run jack. Scott K drove in four on the day. Scott Kamenicki got the win. Randy Myers didn't get a save because it was a blowout game, but he got the final out. It's David Johnson, who's an Oriole Hall of Famer, sadly passed away earlier this month after the Orioles made it to the ALCS in 96. Lost to the Yankees with that nonsense Jeffrey Mayer and all that. But wire to wire, 1997, as the Birds win the division. Didn't win it again until what? 2 years ago? Or 2014, then they won it 2 years ago. But David Johnson, great manager. They were the best team in baseball. Mike Bordick will talk to him tomorrow, who was a starting shortstop for that team. I don't give a bleep what anybody says until the World Series rings get shown and it's the Florida Marlins. No. And the Marlins actually swept the Orioles during the summer that year. But the Orioles were great. They had pitching. They had defense. They had power. They were just loaded. Came a cropper, unfortunately, against the then Indians in the ALCS in six games. When we come back, let's travel around the AFC North. It's notes from the North. We're going to start at Pittsburgh. Then we're going to go to Cleveland. Two winners over the weekend. Now we're going to Cincinnati. Cleveland. Yeah, then Cincinnati. They lost. Like, really bad. Even worse, I'm sure, but they were underdogs. Ravens were favored. Yeah, you get the point.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bengals, Browns, Steelers, and Ravens. Vinny and Haney's Notes from the North.
All right, midweek. Week four of the NFL season coming up here starting tomorrow night with an NFC West tussle, which we'll talk about in due time. But let's look at the division. We're bringing it home. It's Notes from the North. All of our guests are brought to you by the Window Nation Guest Hotline. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. We'll start it off today in Pittsburgh with the Associated Press. Talk about the Steelers sitting here at 2-1. It's Will Graves. And Will, it was a battle for sure up in Foxborough, but the much maligned Pittsburgh defense, at least after the first two games of the season, five turnovers. So where'd that come from all of a sudden?
I think they got a little help from the Patriots with some of the play calling and the fact that their guys in general, their running backs in particular, have had trouble holding on to the ball. But the Steelers also, to their credit, forced the turnovers. You know, Cam Hayward deflects a pass at the goal line that Brandon Echols gets, corrals in the end zone. You know, Jabril Peppers, who got here 5 minutes ago, hits, not goes ball hunting. And Patrick Queen does the same thing. So some of it was just sort of them. I mean, they lead the league in turnover ratio since the start of 2023. This is kind of what they do, right? It has allowed them to sort of get by while not particularly playing great. And, you know, I kind of wrote this on Monday after the game. You know, how do you go 18 straight years or 20 plus now, actually, if you include the last couple of years of Bill Cowher's tenure, without having a losing season? It's by winning games like that, where you get outgained by 100 and 65 yards
and you get out time of possession by 10 minutes, and yet you get five turnovers. You score when you get in the red zone each time, and that's how you win games like this. That's how you put together 9-8, 10-7 seasons when maybe you shouldn't. So sort of a very Steelers-esque, Mike Tomlin-esque early season, this is ugly, but we got it done kind of game.
Well, where do they find a run game?
It's a good – I mean, they have to stick with it. You know, it's weird. Like, they started – we've been – you know, they gave Jaylen Warren a modest extension before the season started. And we're like, okay, well, Jaylen's RB1 now, right? And then they spent the first couple weeks kind of splitting, you know, carries with him and Kenny Gainwell. And then last week they gave him a good look early in the game, and he was productive. They had 53 yards rushing in the first quarter. And then they basically didn't have the ball for the second and third quarters. They just felt like they, you know, New England had a 17-play drive. They had a 15-play drive. They had a 9-play drive. So the defense couldn't get off the field. Mike Tomlin said yesterday that he thinks that's, you know, the inability to sort of be on the field and get into a rhythm was part of the problem. But I'm sitting there thinking, okay, maybe that's true, but maybe if you are successful running the ball, you hold on to the ball a little bit more. So, you know, look, the line is getting better. No sacks last week. There was one, but it was wiped out by a penalty. Is it sustainable? Good question. I think, you know, there's a lot of room for growth there, a lot of meat on bone, as Mike T says. And to be honest with you, this team, if Aaron Rodgers is going to be successful over the course of the season, teams have to – but when you're play action, which is a big part of Arthur Smith's mm-hmm. offense, teams have to believe you're actually going to run the ball. So, like, it is important for them to try to establish that identity, and they're going to have their hands full this week over in Ireland when they play Minnesota, which looks like his defense is a buzzsaw.
Yeah, what do you think of Aaron Rodgers thus far? And it seems like he makes some plays when they really need them.
Yeah, I mean, he is sort of exactly as advertised. It does in some ways look a little bit like, you know, late period Ben Roethlisberger. Sometimes he looks like every bit of 41 years old. And then sometimes, you know, when the moment arises, I mean, both touchdown passes on Sunday, you know, a one in the corner to Metcalf and another one to Calvin Austin late in the game. I mean, those were dimes, yep. You know, those were vintage Aaron Rodgers throws. So, you know, but a couple of times, like, he tried to escape pressure. It looked like he was going to get the first down with ease, and he didn't quite make it. But he's taken a punch. He's the most sacked quarterback in NFL history, which I didn't realize until after he got dropped 9 times in the first 2 games. And I'm looking it up. I'm like, oh, and I said, do you know how to take a hit? And he goes, kind of. You get hit long enough, you sort of figure out how to protect yourself, and he's been okay. You know, they haven't done anything down the field yet vertically. Their long passes, like 65-yarder to Jaylen Warren a couple weeks ago, was all catch and run. You know, DK Metcalf's longest reception is 31 yards, which was almost all catch and run. So he hasn't stretched the field yet. Maybe if the offense gets the running game going, maybe if he gets a little bit better protection, that's an element that they'll add. And they kind of need to add that, hopefully, here in the next few weeks.
Will, real quick, which team comes back from Dublin 3-1, Minnesota or Pittsburgh?
I want to say the Vikings, just because I just think their defense is they got help from Cincinnati last week, but they're really, really, really good. They should be 3-0. I mean, they really should have won that Falcons game. The offense just couldn't do anything. So. I just think that this is going to be one of those, look, they 12 years ago, they met in London, sort of same type of circumstance, and the Vikings won that game, and I kind of see him winning this one too.
Will Graves thought he was going to go full homer, but he took Minnesota. You got to like that. Now let's go to Cleveland. Talk about the Browns. ESPN Radio brings us Emmett Golden. Emmett, appreciate the time. Looking at Cleveland, through 3 games, they've scored 43 points. Should be 2-1, let's be honest, but reality is they're 1-2. How have they been able to get anything out of the win column, given the fact that the offense has been extremely tepid while the defense has been maybe the best in football?
Yeah, that's how they've been able to do it. It's because they have the best defense in football. And, you know, fortunately, when you have that, you don't have to score a lot to be in a game. You can't live like that in the NFL. We do know that the offense is going to have to figure it out at some point. But this defense has been dominant, really, in every aspect of the game.
It seemed with Schwartzy, they're attacking, aggressive. They don't take any crap. I mean, they are, they're actually fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for the longest, this, the defensive line was really, you know, Myles Garrett and everybody else. And now they have compliments to Myles Garrett. They spent the fifth overall pick for Mason Graham, and he's making a huge impact. So the defensive line, they don't have to blitz to get pressure on the quarterback, and that lets the secondary, who have, they have some great players there, and even Carson Schwessinger at linebacker, lets those guys just really get to be free and play. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. I know most people like to see touchdowns scored, but if you're a fan of defense, check out the Cleveland Browns.
Now, Judkins, it says a lot about the OTAs and practice and everything, doesn't it? I mean, because he was impressive in the Ravens game and looked good there. So I think the run game is going to definitely be helped, which should help Joe so he doesn't have to throw it 45 to 50 times a game.
It will. And, you know, the Browns want to be a run-first offense, run-first, then play action. And week one, when Judkins had just got under contract and wasn't available, they had a hard time really running the ball. And even against the Ravens, it took Quinshon a few carries to kind of get his feet wet. But right now you're seeing why they drafted him in the second round. I believe he's leading all rookie rushers in yards, and that's saying something with Amarion Hampton out there and Ashton Jeancey as well. And they also have three games against his two. So the running game is definitely looking up, and that should alleviate some pressure on the Browns quarterback.
Emmett Golden, ESPN Radio in Cleveland. Emmett, last thing for you. As great as the defense is, any way they can win at Detroit scoring less than 20 points offensively?
Oh, yeah, less than 20 points. I don't think they can get it done. As great as this defense is, you're not going to shut out the Detroit Lions. So the Browns are going to have to score some points this week. And, you know, if the offense still seems to struggle, you might see a change to Dylan Gabriel sometime in the near future.
Emmett, appreciate the time. As we move on here with the notes from the North, keep in mind the Ravens have scored 30 or more in all three games.
Yes.
They're 1-2. Browns haven't scored 20 yet, and they're 1-2. It's a zany world, this NFL. Now let's go to Cincinnati. They go to Minnesota. 2-0 last week. From Charlie's chalkboard, let's bring back to the show our buddy Charlie Goldsmith. And Charlie, you had to go with Jake Browning because Joe Burrow was hurt. Okay, you're 2-0. You go there, you get totally trounced. I'm guessing a loss was expected, but to that level.
You know what? A lot of the weaknesses that Joe Burrow was able to help overcome with the team kind of were in the spotlight, especially the offensive line. They lost 48-10, and I put not all 48 points, but maybe like 41 or 34 of those points squarely on the offensive line, because the way that unit blocked the run and the pass impacted the defense, impacted the play calling, impacted everything about that game.
Now, Charlie, what about the defense? Is the defense better than it was last year, or are we still looking at the same thing, or it's going to be kind of not hidden because you don't have Joe Burrow scoring 30 points a game?
I've been joking here this week that it's the hottest take of all time, but I thought the Bengals defense actually played pretty well on Sunday in Minnesota, even though, of course, 48 points became what it was. But when you look at the ideas they had on third down, you're seeing Jordan Battle at safety take a step forward. You're seeing Dax Hill, their slot corner, take a big step forward. Rookie Demetrius Knight's had some moments. Rookie Shamar Stewart's been hurt, but he's had some, or was hurt last week, but he's had some moments. Hendrickson looks unbelievable. TJ Slayton has been a nice impact against the run. The defense is probably in the 15 to 22 range, but now you need a lot more than that with the offense being where it is without Burrow.
What do you see them winning this year with no Joe Burrow?
It probably 7 or 8. They're still upset. I still think Browning's a lot better than he was, a lot better than he showed on Sunday. But there's now a real floor with this team just in terms of how things can look that we're seeing. I wouldn't rule out a playoff bid whatsoever, but I think 7 or 8 wins feels about right.
You got the Broncos coming up in that epic Monday night doubleheader in Denver. Broncos have lost 2 in a row, barring Knicks turning the ball over a bunch of times, which we've seen him do, Charlie. How does Cincinnati steal one on the road?
Well, they've had a historically bad start to the season running the ball, even though Chase Brown should be a top 10 back in the league. Brown has absolutely nowhere to go. So the Bengals are going to take this extra day. They're going to look at some ideas for the run game. They have to be able to spark that and play a more conservative style of game for them to win a game like Monday.
Charlie Goldsmith, Charlie's Chalkboard. Charlie, we appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
There's Charlie Goldsmith, all of our guests today, and the Notes from the North brought to you by the Window Nation Guest Hotline. We'll come back, take phone calls, so stick around for that. Then news from the Nest / Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense coming up at noon. Let's go to Trey in Joppa. Trey, thanks for holding. What's happening?
What's happening, fellas?
How you doing, man?
They're still depressed a little bit about the defense. That's what I want to talk about today. Damn. And, you know, a lot of blame will go around. Vinny, you touched on it. You didn't steal my thunder, but I was hoping nobody even brought his name up because it seems like we forget about this guy, even though he just got a $100 million contract. Kyle Hamilton. Let me tell y'all something. I've been saying it for a while. This guy is not who a lot of people think he is. He's not a playmaker. He's not a force multiplier. You know, one trait that a safety has to have, you either have it or you don't. Johnny on the spot, right place, right time. He doesn't have that trait. As the games are in the balance, and it's like you're screaming at the TV or you're watching the game saying, somebody make a play. Why is his name so far down on the list of people you would think would make it? Why? You know, Brian Burns had a key breakup in that game. I called in right around the time Kyle was about to get paid, and I brought up Brian Branch's name. Kirby Joseph, the other starting safety for them. Kirby Joseph had 9 interceptions last year. Yeah, these guys impact the game. It's too many times I feel like people get, you know, you look at the stat sheet, he had 9 total tackles. Where are the impactful plays? Where are the game-deciding plays? We're paying you, you're the highest-paid safety, and you're just a guy. You're the highest-paid safety in the league, and you make no plays that determine outcomes of games. I'm not going with that narrative. Well, guess what? It ain't up to me. But people need to stop saying that. They need to stop saying he's the best safety in the league when he don't make no plays. Darius Washington is one of the biggest misses of this season. Vinny, and, you know, not to say that you didn't like Ardarius, but I can remember when I would call in, you would kind of be like, Let me tell you something. Ardarius made game-impactful plays last year. I can go back to the fumble against Russell Wilson when the Steelers were driving, getting ready to take the lead. What does he do? Make a big hit. Ball's on the ground. We out the gate. It's those little plays, man. Where are those plays at for Kyle? And we want to blame Oway. We want to blame – I got people talking about Mike Green, a bust already. Get a boy time, you're a rookie. Kyle Hamilton, you're in your apex of your career. What plays are you making that are impacting the game? And after the game, I give him credit. He didn't pull a Mark Andrews. He talked. He said, I didn't play my best. You know, their receivers were very physical. Yeah, Amon St. Brown, he came up in that slot blocking. He said, boy, get off this plot of land. Move from this area that you're in right now. You're supposed to be the enforcer. You know, I mean, just very disappointing to Kyle. I'm not giving up on him. I think he's a hell of a ball player. I wouldn't want to go against him. I'm just putting the pressure on him. We got to start. When the defense played bad, let's look at him. If we ain't talking about Roquan, the next guy we need to be talking about, it need to be Kyle. That's all I got, fellas.
All right. Trey, what do you think there, Vinny? Putting out some very strong facts.
I like Kyle Hamilton as a player. I think he can be an impactful player. He needs to be – when he was with Mike McDonald, he was extremely impactful because he was blitzing and sacking and doing a lot of things.
Well, he had the 1 year where he had 3 sacks, but they were all in one game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But he was more utilized then. I didn't think he played well this week. I thought he played very well against Cleveland. You know, I thought he had some really nice hits. Here he missed some tackles and – you know, like caller said, he did get blocked by St. Brown on the one play down inside. He didn't tackle well. I didn't think. But you know what? Kyle fit like right in with the other 10 guys on defense. None of them played well. I thought Jenkins was the only one, the D tackle. Otherwise, I didn't think anybody. And Wiggins played all right. Otherwise, no.
Let's get out to the phones. Go to Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, thanks for holding. What's up?
What's good, Vinny and Bob? How y'all doing?
All right.
Cool, man. It's been a great segment, man. I just got a couple of little things I'd like to share with you. That dude, Trey, was probably the best call of the day, man. That was real-time money on the line, right, Bob and Vinny? Because all these people that call in with so-called experience don't have that kind of money to actually put it on the line in the NFL. Remember that, people. You don't have that kind of money to play this game. Your thoughts are minimal. But Trey was brilliant. End of the day, Vinny, Patrick Mahomes will be able to simply get some kind of a formation, come out there, stand at the line of scrimmage, and adjust their routes to this defense. He's better than Jared Goff. So if he tore us up, you know this, Vinny, when the real money's on the line, people trying to walk back what Pat Mahomes has done and what he's capable of is not a way to go into this football game.
The only thing I would say to that is Kansas City doesn't have the same weapons as Detroit.
He has been lighting it up for the better part of a year now. He's still a brilliant quarterback, and he's already a lock to get into the Hall of Fame. And to Kevin's point, don't sleep on him.
Right.
But I don't see him throwing for 400 yards. If he does.
We're in deep. Yeah.
Let's get back to the foes. Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, what's up?
What's up, fellas? Good afternoon. Well, it's still morning. Hey, man, y'all know that cliche. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. Our dogs ain't had no fight.
No.
They were wimps. And to the other caller, what he was saying about Hamilton, yeah, he could be this, he could be that. But I'm just thinking about strategically on defensive calling. What they say, coaches supposed to put their players in the best position to perform. So if you got your dogs with no fight, your coaches are not putting them in the best position to play well, that's catastrophe. So can they clean that up? Now, here's the point. Getting their pants pulled down may be a blessing, because the way that damn game was set up, sorry about that, it was like it was a rock star concert. Man, everybody in the country was there. You know, superstars and people on television, they were all there. Even and then, you know, to talk about the Costa standing on the sideline in sunglasses at night. Come on, that ain't you, yo. Anyway, so I'm using that. Listen. I'm telling my team, you know, everybody's laughing at you right now. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know who can build up the motor. Who can what's the term I'm trying to use? Who can put the fire underneath the team? Say that again, Vinny.
Who can motivate them?
Yes. Because too hard to me, he's going to come to him like a rabbi. He's not the one. And I'm like, who on the team? And another thing, Harbaugh's success in his first 5 years, he got handed a team that one of us could have coached. But anyway, what I'm saying is, I'm telling them that you got your pants pulled down. Everybody in Kansas City is laughing at you. They got to go into this game Sunday angry as hell. If they don't go in this game angry, then they ain't going to win. So somebody has to put a fire under them, tell them that, you know, you got your pants pulled down on national television. You're the laughing stock of the NFL. Build a fire up in them. Then every man has to do the Michael Jackson, man in the mirror, and man up and win the damn game. Take it easy, y'all.
Joe Woodbury wants somebody to put a foot up their rear ends here. Get him going.
Well, I think, you know what, when they came in this morning, today was their first day, and that's why practice is late, because they have to watch the film of the game. That won't be a pretty scenario watching the film. That'll be, you know, I've sat in some of those, you know, like when you're a player and you know you didn't play well, and you know, like when the play's coming up on the film, you're like, I hope he doesn't run it back a lot, you know? So hopefully that they're embarrassed and they come out like Joe and you know, come out and take the fight to him.
And Eric DaCosta, in fairness to him, maybe he wears sunglasses at night because he's light sensitive, like the old Bobster is here.
Yeah, because those
or maybe it's
just
profiling. Yeah, here's Corey Hart. He wears his sunglasses at night. Don't mess around with the guy in shades. Oh, well, or whatever the hell the lyrics are to that. So when we come back, speaking of film, Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense. They put 30 on the board. That was awesome, right? Not so fast. Stick around, Vinny. He'll explain buy or sell. It's got some midweek money, hopefully. And Jim Hunter will be joining us for the final time this season. Dean Kramer closes out his 2025 on a high note as the Orioles win the opener against the Rays. And we'll look ahead to Jim giving his thoughts on what Mike Elias, number one thing he needs to do outside of a GM and a manager. We're talking personnel-wise.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.